Good morning and welcome to Faith Life Depot. My name is Milt Jones. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us tonight. We're going to jump right into the Word. We're going to pick right up where we were last time. Last time we've been talking in this series about the laws of confession. We began it off talking about how there is power in your words. And when you believe it in your heart and you confess it out of your mouth, you should believe. Receive what it is that you believe. Then last week we were talking about how you got to win the battle within and how your words have power and how when you use your words and the whole purpose of God's word was to be able to create. So our words were used to create, not just to communicate, but to create. But this week we're going to be talking about how there is authority in your words. There's authority in your words. What if you knew that when you use your words to speak about a situation or circumstance, you knew that you would get God's result every time? Would you be more inclined to use your words wisely? And we're going to talk about that today. We're also going to be talking about how do you get the old out and get the new in. So buckle up, buttercup, because here we go. Now, again, if I was to give this title, we're talking about the authority of your words. Last time we were talking about how with the war that's going on within, and we find this in James chapter 3. James chapter 3 talks about how there's a battle, there's a war going in, and how this one little member in your body can shape your whole world. And that one little member in your body that can either cause you to have good or cause you to have chaos is that little bitty thing underneath your nose, inside of your mouth, known as your tongue. Your tongue is either producing life or it's producing corruption. Your tongue is either causing blessings or it's commanding curses. Your tongue is either speaking life or it's speaking death, and you are the deciding factor. We found out in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says how the death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it should eat the fruit thereof. But then when I went all the way over to the book of James chapter 3, and I started verse number 2 and begin to talk about the power of your tongue and how that tongue is either producing life or death. It's either producing blessing and cursing, and you will find out as we begin to read it. It says it this way. It says this in verse 2. It says, "For we all stumble in many things and in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he or she says, he or she is a perfect or whole or complete person, able to bridle or control the whole body as well. Now, and if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Now, look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a force is set afire by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members," talking about our body members, "as that which defiles the entire body." Think about that. Your tongue is able to defile your entire body, and it sets on fire the courses of life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds or reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poisons. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out the same opening, both fresh and bitter waters? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives and vines? produce figs? No. Nor can salt water produce fresh. In other words, you can't say, you can't be using your tongue 1 minute to be a blessing to somebody and the next minute being a cursing person or speaking death or corruption over that person. The power, there's authority and power in your words. We talked about this, how, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And we also talked about how that, there is fruit that is produced by your words. It says this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. It says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Now listen to this part. A good man out of the good treasures or deposits, and we're going to talk about that later, deposits of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word, what's that word idle? Pointless, useless, of no benefit word. You will give an account for it. You and I will both give an account for it on the day of judgment. For by our words, we will be justified. And by our words, we will be condemned. You got to understand, there's so much power in your word that even the adversary, when the reason why he's putting all these test trials and tribulations on you, he don't care about taking your house. He don't care about your broken down car. He don't care about your body. He don't care about your food. He don't care about any of those things. But the one thing he does care about is the word of God that you get down on the inside of your heart, because in that word, there that word is spirit, and that word is life. It can produce blessing. It can produce produce healing. It can produce salvation. It can produce so many things. But if you never get that word on the inside of you, you can't produce something that you don't have on the inside of you. You can sit and watch TV all day long and you say, I'm just using it as background noise. I'm just using it for something that's playing in the background. But what you don't realize is those words that are coming out of that TV, well, consciously or subconsciously, they are being deposited down into your heart. How? Because the word of God, or even the words of this world, get into your heart, into your thought life, into your subconscious by hearing and hearing and hearing the same things repeated over and over and over again. Because there's three gates to your heart: what you hear, what you see, and what you say. And they will get down into your heart. That's why it says in Proverbs chapter 4, 23, you have to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart comes all the issues of life. So out of your heart, we found this out a few weeks ago, how out of your heart, the things that are in your heart is what defiles you. Because you could have things going on in your heart that nobody even knows. We found this out in Matthew 15, how you could have hatreds and adulteries and murders and all those things going on in your heart, even though on the surface it looks like nothing's going on at all. That's why God is always, always, always looking at our heart. Glory to God. Now, remember, we're talking about there's authority in your words. How do you know there's authority in the word? How do you know that there's power? That word authority means power. There's power in your words. And who was the one who gave you that authority in the first place? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the one who gave you authority. How do you know? He says this in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Glory to God. He says, behold, I have given you authority. All right, and in New King James Version, or the King James Version, it says power. But that word power there means authority, when you translate it into Greek. It means authority. And I've given you authority to do what? To trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So how did Jesus give the apostles Authority. How did he give his disciples authority? How did he give you and I authority? Well, he gave us delegated authority. In fact, that word power there in the Strong's Concordance is defined as delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. So when Jesus says, I have given you authority, I've given you delegated authority in his name. And when you have a delegated authority in his name, and you begin to use the words that God has said to you when you've gone to him in prayer about your situation and circumstance, then you have the ability on the inside of you to operate in the earth. Buckle up, operate in the earth just like Jesus did. When you use God's word in out of your mouth, a little bitty tongue that it's going to create cause blessing or cursings, life or death. When you begin to speak the word of God in your situation, when you begin to speak the word of God in the area by which you have jurisdiction in your house or with your or situation and circumstances in your life, when you begin to speak that word, because of the delegated authority that has been given to you, you will get the same results that Jesus himself got. How do you know? I'm so glad you asked. If you will turn with me to Psalms chapter 107, Psalms chapter 107, verse 20, and this is what the psalmist said. It said, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. How did He heal them? How did he deliver them from their destructions? By his word. You say, well, that's God doing that. Okay, well, let's find another spot. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 8, verse number 6. How by his word, he sent his word and it healed them. He sent his word and it delivered them from the destruction. I'll give you an example. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 6 says it this way. This is talking about the soldier who came to Jesus, who wanted his servants healed. Matthew chapter 8, verse 6 says this. I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible, says this. And saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, who, talking about the guy whose servants who was at home fearfully tormented, he says, I will come and heal him. Isn't that what Jesus said to the man? The guy said, this is my situation. Jesus said, okay, this is what I'll do. But then what did the centurion say back to Jesus? The centurion said to Jesus, Lord, hold up. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. What did he say? Just say the word. Or in other words, just speak your word. Or do what? Just send your word, and he shall be healed. How did he know that if Jesus, just by sending the word, his servant would be healed? Because he understood the authority that came with the word. How can you operate just like Jesus did in the earth? How can you get the same results that Jesus got in the earth? How can you speak to a mountain and command it to move? How can you speak over your finances and command them to be restored? How can you speak to your body and call it to be healed? How can you do all those things? How can you use your words to command situation and circumstances to turn around because of the authority that is in the word? How did God create the heavens and the earth? By the authority or power that was in the word. How was Jesus going to heal this centurion man's servant? By the power in his word. How do you know he was talking about authority? Let's continue. Because this centurion went on to say, For I am also a man under what? Authority. With soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, heard what? The man talk has faith in the authority in Jesus' word. He said this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith in anyone in Israel. Remember when God originally created mankind from the very beginning, what did he do after he had created man? What did he do? He blessed them and he also gave him dominion, or he also gave him or her authority. Authority to do what? To always be producing, always to be increasing, always to be filling and refilling, and also to have authority over their situations and circumstances so that they could subdue them. Now you say, well, okay, that's okay. I'll give you that one. Can you give me another example? Of course. The sick man comes to Jesus. This is in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse number 7. The sick man comes to Jesus. He's been at the pool. This is the man who's been laying by the pool for 38 years. Talking about the authority of words. The authority of your words. This is what he said. He'd been laying by the pool for 38 years. And this is what he says. Jesus said, would you like to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool. Now, you got to understand, this man, there was sick people all around, but this guy had been laying there for 38 years. And as it was said, that when the angel would come down and stir the water, the first ones that got in the pool was the ones who got healed. So I'm going to set the picture for you. Now imagine a place full of people. This man is laying by the pool for 38 years. Jesus comes and asks the guy, would you like to be healed? This is his response. As opposed to saying, yes, Lord, heal me. What did he say? He said, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool. And when the water stirred up, he says, but while I am coming, another person steps down before me. What did he tell Jesus? He told Jesus all the reasons why he could not receive his healing. Is that what Jesus asked him? Is that what you're doing? Ooh, that's a good word right there. The Lord says, is that what you're doing? When I asked you, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to be whole? Do you want your family restored? Do you want your marriage restored? Do you want your finances restored? Do you want to step out into this business I have for you? Do you want this witty idea? Are you sitting there telling him all the reasons why you haven't received it up to that point? Is that the question he's asking you? No. He stretched his hand out and says, will you receive what it is I came and gave you? And that's what I hear the Lord saying to you today. Will you receive this word that I'm giving to you today? Because there is power and there is authority in your words when your words line up with the words of the Father. Remember, Jesus only said what he heard his Father say. He only did what he saw his Father do. Remember when he said in John 14, he says, he was saying to his disciple, Philip, you don't believe on me? He said, the words that I speak, he says, these are not my words. He says, I speak the words of the one who sent me. It is him who does the work. But Jesus goes on to say this to this guy at the pool. He says, do you want to be healed? God tells him, Jesus, I can't. Every time I try to get in there, somebody steps over me. Then what did Jesus say to him? Get up. What did he tell him? Get up. Pick up your pallet and walk. Now, what did Jesus do? Did Jesus pray for him? Did Jesus lay hands on him? Did Jesus say, oh, in the sweet by and by? No, what did he say? He told him to get up. He said, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Now, what if that guy would have heard that word? Glory to God. Heard that word and just continued to lay down. Oh, Jesus, you don't understand. I've been here 38 years and nothing's changed about my situation. My mama had this situation. Pookie had this situation. Ray Ray, Quick Wee, all of my family had this situation. But what did Jesus say? get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Now, when the man obeyed the word, it said immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now, there was the Sabbath, it was on the Sabbath day that he done this. Now, what did Jesus use? The authority that was in his words. I know somebody's out there saying, but that was Jesus. What does that have to do with me? I'm so glad you said that. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Using the authority of your words. We find in Acts chapter 3, Peter is going into the gate, going into the temple at the hour of prayer, which was his norm. He goes in. There's this guy standing outside. He's a beggar. He begged for alms every day. In other words, he's a street pet. He's a panhandler. He's out there and he's expecting, every time somebody's coming by, he's expecting them to give them of their resources. And Peter walks up past the guy, and the guy looks at Peter and he's asking Peter for alms. And this is what Peter said to the man. He says, but Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on the man, on the beggar. And this is what he said. He says, look at us. And the man who was expecting alms, he was looking and he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, when is the last time you went into prayer and you was expecting to receive something from God? When was the last time you had a conversation, or you went to service, or you went to a small group, or you went to a Bible study and you was expecting to receive something from what it is that you heard? When was the last time you turned on the podcast and expected to receive something from what it is you heard? Glory to God. Now, he was expecting to receive something from them, but this is what Peter did. Peter said this. Peter did what? Peter said. Peter did what? Peter said. He says, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. Now, what does Peter have? In the name of Jesus. What was he saying? In the authority of the name of Jesus. Or what is he using? That delegated authority which Jesus had already given to the disciples. And why are you saying that is that important to you? Because Jesus said, when before he resurrected up to heaven, he had given us, you and I, the same delegated authority to do what? To trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. Now, remember when Jesus said it to the guy who was by the pool, he told him to get up, pick up his pallet, and walk. The guy got up, immediately got up, picked up his pallet, and walked away. What happened to the guy who was at the gate? Let's find out. He says, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And Peter grabbed him by seized him by his hand, and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, did it say that Peter and John had something that you and I didn't have? Nope. Same Jesus. Same word, same Holy Ghost, same delegated authority. The difference between what Peter saw and what sometimes we don't get to see is because we don't use the authority of our words, and we don't understand, we have not always understood the power or the authority that's in our words, so we've kind of mini-moused it, or we barely said it, or we kind of half-heartedly say it. But I'm going to share with you right now how to get that word down on the inside of you. And when you get that word down on the inside of you, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to begin to choose your words wisely. Point to yourself and say, from this day forward, come on, from this day forward, I will choose my words wisely. I will use the authority given to me to speak words of life and not death. In Jesus' name, amen. Your words are used to either bless or curse. Your words are used to distribute truth or a lie. Your words will lead to life or death. Your words will either persuade someone to righteousness, or your words will persuade somebody to unrighteousness. There's power and authority in your words. Are you seeing this? Now, you're asking, well, how do I get, since you said my tongue has been a member of an unruly member, and it just going to go wherever you let it go. And one minute I'm speaking blessings to the Lord, next minute I'm cussing my cousin now because he owed me $20. How do you respond? How do you get the right results? Well, remember, it said this in Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if I want to get right words to come out of my heart, to come out of through my tongue, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to change the words that are in my heart. Uh-oh, I know. I heard you. You said it couldn't be that simple. Really, it is that simple. What do you got to do? You got to do an inventory. You got to have a flush. You got to get that garbage out and put the new in. You got to make a decision that from this day forward, I'm going to fill my ears, my heart, and my eyes, and things coming out of my mouth with the words that line up with God's words. How do you know you can do that? Well, if you turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20, I'm going to show you how to do it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says this: my son or daughters, give attention to my words. So what is the first thing you're going to have to do? Write this down. You have to give attention to the word, which means throughout the day, you need to take time to get the word of God. You got to make a decision. You're going to give it attention. You're not going to try to read the Bible while your TV's in the background. You're not going to try to read the Bible when your phone, you're getting phone calls and text messages and social media scans. You're going to read, when you give attention to the word, you're going to give your undivided attention to the word. Number two, you're going to incline your ears to his saying. And second part, what are you going to do? You're going to make a decision to have ears to hear whatever it is that the Spirit of the Lord will say to you while you're reading the word. See, what happens is too many times people are trying to hear, but they're so distracted that they got all these other thoughts going on in their head and their minds at the same time. So they don't hear what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say to them. So number one, what we're going to do, we're going to give attention to the word. Number two, we're going to incline our ears, or have ears. We're going to pray and make sure that we have ears so that we can hear. The third thing we're going to do is we're not going to let the word of God depart from our eyes. In other words, we're going to keep the word. When we get ready to read when we get ready to read, listening is cool, but reading the word is much better. Why? Because you're getting it into you three times as fast, because you're hearing it out of your own mouth. I mean, you're hearing it through your own ears, it's going into your eyes because you got to open your eyes to be able to read it, and it's also going into your ears because you'll be able to hear it. You will believe what you say three times faster than what it is I say. So when you make a decision to give attention to the word, when you make a decision to have ears to hear, when you make a decision to keep that word before your eyes, then what happens? You have got to keep that word in the midst of your heart. How do you get the word in the midst of your heart? You have to meditate on the word, not just memorization. Memorizing where it is cool, but meditating is it that you're pondering it or saying it over and over and over again to yourself till you begin to, Joshua 1 and 8 says it this way: this book of the law should not depart out of your eyes, but you should meditate in it when? Day and night, that you may observe. You're meditating in it, so you're pondering. You're just saying the same scripture over and over and over again to yourself till it becomes so real to you that you can literally see what it is that the word says. And when you are able to see what it is the word says, then it makes it easier for you to do the next thing. then you're able to apply what it is that you see. See, while you're meditating on the word, it's you, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. You're meditating on the word, meditating on the word. And what's it doing? It's removing the old and making room for the new. It removes the old and makes room for the new. That's what repentance is all about. Repentance means you hear something and you receive new information about the same situation, but you receive that new information. So you have a new information that gives you new thoughts, that gives you new feelings, that presents you with a different decision. And when you act out on a decision and you make a decision to turn and go the direction of the new information that you heard, you have just repented. So what do we say we're going to do? One, we're going to give attention to the word. Two, we're going to make a decision to have ears to hear. Three, we're going to keep that word in front of our eyes. And four, we're going to keep that word in the midst of our hearts by meditating on it over and over again. And why will we keep this word in our hearts? The word tells you. It says, for the words are life to those who found them and health to all your flesh. So when you get the word of God, when you give attention to it, when you make a decision to have ears to hear it, when you make it, when you keep it in the midst of your eyes, I mean, keep it in your eyes and you keep it in the midst of your heart by meditating on that word, will produce life in you. That word will produce health in you. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to change the very things that's in your heart. And when it begins to change the things that are in your heart, when your mouth speak, it's going to speak life, not death. When your mouth speak, it speaks blessing and not cursing. When your tongue speak, it's going to speak righteousness instead of unrighteousness. Are you see how this works? And then the fifth thing you got to do is you have to guard your heart. You got to guard what you hear. You got to guard what you see. You got to guard what you say and what you let other people say to you. Why? Because out of your heart flow all the issues of life. Do you see how powerful your words are? Do you understand the fact that you have authority through the words that you say? Do you understand that Jesus has already given you authority? You're not trying to get authority. He's already given you the authority. And when you use that authority and you use his words, the word of God, to bring forth his God's results, remember, thy kingdom come, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then you get the God kind of results. It's really that simple. And that's the same way that people got born again. How? They heard the word that, you know, it's the word of faith. It said in Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 says this way. It says, the word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to give you an opportunity to act out on everything we just said today. You've heard the word. You've heard the word. Now you've given attention to the word. You've opened your ears to hear the words. You got your Bibles out so you can read along with what it is that we're saying, so you can make sure everything that's being said is according to his word. And now you're going to make a decision to act out on what it is you say. How do you do that? How do you make Jesus your Lord and Savior? How do you make a total 180 and turn around today? Man, it's as simple as praying out to me. Are you ready? You're going to you've confessing out of your mouth what it is that you believe in your heart. You ready? Here we go. You say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and he carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I confess out of my mouth. I believe in my heart. And now, I'm born again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really that simple. What did you do? use the authority that was in the word to do what? Everything I've done today is exactly what Psalms 107 says. He sent his word to heal and to deliver out of all destruction. Next week, we're going to pick up and we're going to continue to talk about how to get the old out, to get that, have that renewed mind and a renewed heart. So when you speak his word, you get God's results every time. Have a blessed week. God bless you. Bye-bye.